Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
During high school, I was labeled as an at-risk young person.
22-year-old Beatrice Rivera, a Latina youth activist from Jamaica Plain. And here's Ross Caputi of Fitchburg, a veteran of the Iraq War.
Even if I didn't pull the trigger, even if I didn't shoot anyone dead in the street, I still carried the radio on my back. My radio dropped bombs in that city.
What do they have in common, Ross and Beatrice? They are two of the thousands of college seniors around the state graduating this month. This Friday and next, we're profiling a few of those seniors whose stories we found remarkable. We start with Beatrice. Here's her story. A few years ago, she got involved with girl gangs. She says the groups gave her a stability she wasn't getting at home.
At the time, we were a family around my neighborhood. That's all we had was each other. In our homes, it was kind of broken. So it was more because I was angry. It was more because I was misunderstood. The time that really impacted me was when my parents separated and my dad had left for a while.
How old were you then?
I was 14. Until about 18, 19 is when he came back. But through those years, those primary years, my family broke apart. My brother got into his own gangs. He also got locked up. He did prison time most of that time. So I was separated from him. That was my closest brother. We're only 2 years apart. And that's what I mean by broken homes. My mom was a single mom trying to raise six kids on her own. And I'm the youngest out of six. So I started working at a very young age. And I had to be, I kind of got pushed to be independent.
Is that when you were, as you put it a few minutes ago, an angry young girl?
It was when I was an angry young girl. It's like, do you work on your math homework or do you work on the situations that are happening on the streets where a young person from your neighborhood is getting killed, you know, every other day? And these are people that you know. It's not people far from you. So it's just that anger buildup. It's almost feeling like you don't have any hope to get out of that.
But just in time, a community program in JP called Spontaneous Celebrations reached out to Beatrice. It got her involved in social justice and the arts. She fell in love with dancing and stilt walking, of all things, and spent less time on the streets. When she was about to become too old for the program, she and a group of friends decided to start their own organization, By Youth, For Youth, to keep themselves and other kids off the streets. They called it the Beantown Society.
This now became a home for us, and we wanted to get other young people, our brothers, our siblings, our cousins, people around our neighborhood, and just as much as involved as we are. So we now work with our own friends.
You said that you went to college not because you wanted to, but because you needed to. What do you mean by that?
I just feel like in life, the way that it's set up now, wisdom is power. As a community organizer, I have a lot of experience, but I need to balance it off in knowing. I'm passionate about social justice issues. If I find an issue there and we take it to the state house, they're not going to hear us just talking and wanting to like protest or rally. They want to see something on paper. They want to see facts and put into words what exactly I was living.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for the kids that you see on the streets today?
The feeling of neglection. And I think this is going on for generations. Like, I've been one of those generations. And then as I've grown into a youth worker and really separated myself from my regular world, I've seen that it still continues to be that same thing. They're misunderstood. When they're paid attention to, it's almost as if it's automatically looked down to. They don't get that opportunity to feel powerful, to feel like they have a voice.
You want to be politically active. You want to be an elected official.
So yes, I do want to be an elected official. At some point, I do want to run for senator. I feel like there needs to be a voice inside of the state house that comes from the community. We need a voice from the streets, and I think I bring that. So I've done some work with an outstanding senator, Senator Sonia Chain Diaz. I've interned with her. She's a role model for me because she's a Latina woman doing the work that I soon want to do.
So it's important for you to stay in Boston?
Yes, it's important for me to stay in Boston. I can't imagine myself going anywhere else, but if I do go anywhere else, it's obviously to get experience and bring it back to my hometown.
That was Beatrice Rivera of Jamaica Plain. Last weekend, she delivered the commencement speech at her graduation from Pine Manor College, a small private women's school in Chestnut Hill. She was the first member of her family to go to college. Beatrice says she's already received a lot of job offers, but hasn't chosen one yet. She says she'll keep working with young people to keep them off the streets. Our next graduate, Ross Caputi, has a very different story. But like Beatrice, he says he's motivated by a sense of social justice and a desire to change the world based on a very personal experience. After graduating high school in Fitchburg, Ross joined the Marines. What he didn't anticipate was getting shipped to Iraq, where he participated in the Second Battle of Fallujah. The U.S. military has described that siege as some of the heaviest urban combat Marines have been involved in since Vietnam. The battle changed Ross's life.
They said that this was a good, noble cause, and we were heroes for doing this, and this was going to usher in freedom and democracy to Iraq. In reality, you know, we forced nearly the entire population of Fallujah to go live out in the desert. Of the people who stayed in to resist, we killed them, and we demolished a lot of the city. We used bulldozers and bulldozed entire neighborhoods of the city. And just the hypocrisy of all this, to say that we're doing this for a liberation, to bring in democracy, and we're doing this for the people of Fallujah, just made me rethink everything.
How and when did you get out?
Like a year after I got back from Iraq, I ended up getting discharged for, it was an administrative discharge for what they were calling a personality disorder.
What did that mean?
I forget the way that they defined it, but a personality type not fit for military service, something like that. It kind of just seemed like a way of cutting their losses with me. I wasn't going to get an honorable discharge. I wasn't going to get the GI Bill. But it wasn't necessarily like a mark on my record. It's not a dishonorable discharge. It's technically called general under honorable conditions. To me, I wanted out as fast as possible, and this was the way out.
What drew you back to school after you got out? Did you wander a little bit after you got out of the Marine Corps, or did you go right to school?
Well, I tried going right to school. I did a semester at Fitchburg State College, but it was very weird being back home because people were coming up to me, shaking my hand, thanking me for a service. Every time I went out at night, people were trying to buy me free beers and stuff. Every time they said, thank you for your service, just in the back of my head, I'm like, you do not understand. You have no idea what you're thanking me for. So I had to get out. So I did a study abroad to Italy. And I did a lot of reading, read about, U.S. foreign policy and history, history of the Marine Corps, history of American imperialism. And, you know, I ended up feeling like, I really got to do something about this. I need to speak out. I should write about my experience. I should talk about what's going on in Iraq. But with a high school education from Leominster High School, I wasn't a very strong writer, certainly wasn't a good public speaker. So I felt like I needed to get some skills to be able to do this. I wanted to learn how to write and write mostly.
And so what'd you do?
After that, I transferred to BU, and I started my first semester at BU fall 2008.
What was that like, going from the Marines to living in Italy for a year and a half to coming back to school after you hadn't been in school for so long?
It was hard because I didn't remember anything I learned in high school, especially math and grammar and, you know, all these things that, you know, should be your tools for in college. Like, I didn't have them, so I had to relearn all of them. And it was really hard. And it was also because Iraq and Fallujah and all this is stuff that kind of sticks in your mind, and it's in your mind all day long, so it's tough to read about mundane things like grammar while you have all that playing in the back of your head. So I had a really hard time focusing.
At BU, you became active in the anti-war movement?
Yeah.
Is your participation as a veteran in these organizations unique? Are there many vets in these organizations?
No. In fact, I'm the only one. In the entire city of Boston, there's very few veterans who have become anti-war. I think generally it's much easier for veterans to let everyone treat them like heroes and to collect their benefits from the VA and let that be a stepping stone for them to move on with their life.
So what do you hear from other soldiers once they find out that you're involved in anti-war organization or the anti-war movement?
Specifically from the people from my old unit, they call me a traitor, and some even go as far as to say that I'm a terrorist or I'm supporting terrorists, sympathizing with terrorists, you know, things like that.
Do you think that sometimes there's too much weight on your shoulders?
Yeah. You know, I would love to go somewhere and be a farmer. But, I'm seriously worried about the world that my children are going to be living in. So I feel like I need to do this for them.
Ross Caputi is a veteran of the Iraq War and is outspoken in the anti-war movement. He graduates this weekend from Boston University with a degree in linguistics, though he says he's not planning to attend the ceremony. Ross wants to go to graduate school and write a book about his experiences. Just last month, he married an Iraqi-American woman he met at an anti-war conference. They live together in Fitchburg. Next week, our profiles of graduating seniors continues with a story of a chance encounter at a gas station in the city of Holyoke that turned a young man's life around. WBUR's Lisa Tobin produced these stories.